You see it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We've talked on our morning services about one aspect about the kingdom, and for the last three services, in the morning services, we've been talking about kings. Today, we talked about these four aspects of kings. We said, number one, y'all remember? Number one, a king is the central component of his kingdom. A king is the ultimate and the only source of authority in his kingdom. And then number three, today we say it, a king's presence is the presence of his authority. There were four main things that we had planned to talk about today. And that last one is that the king's name is the essence of his authority. And but tonight, in our night services, we've been talking about the benefits of making righteous choices. And so tonight, we're going to talk along those lines. The choice, the benefit of making the choice to simplify your life and do Matthew 6:33. Life's supposed to be simple. Do y'all hear me? Life is supposed to be simple. It does not supposed to be complicated. It does not supposed to be difficult. And Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Jesus said, don't worry about something to eat, something to drink, what you're going to wear. Jesus actually said, don't even worry about your life. We pointed out today that all religions are based on getting people's needs met. That's why religions are not the reason that Jesus came. Jesus came and he said, pagans or Gentiles are religions. That's what that's seeking, to get people's needs met. But Jesus said, don't worry about that kind of stuff. He said, your Father know you have needs. Isn't that something? Most of our prayer life is based on us trying to get our needs met. Every religion is based on getting people's needs met, doing something to please a deity so that that deity can meet your needs. But Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about these basic things. God is your heavenly Father. He is a king, and he wants to lavish you with your needs being met. Jesus said, don't worry about that. But he said, but you, your business is not to prosper you. That's God's business. But he said, you put this as the priority in your life. Exclusive. You seek means to study and learn and pursue and enter into and understand. You seek first. This is God's priority for mankind. Life's supposed to be very simple. Life is not supposed to be complicated. You're not designed to bear the burden of many of the things that people generally get involved with when they become born again. You're not designed to carry that load. That's not your business. Amen. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus told some people, you are following me because you saw the, not because you saw the miracles, but because I fed you. You're not following me because you have your confidence in me. He said, you're following me because you want some, you want your needs met. You're trying to get me to meet your needs. All that stuff is, getting the need met is temporary. But he said, I'm, the work is to believe in me. That other stuff is automatic. God knows that you have needs. God knows that I have needs. God said, don't worry about your life. He said, but you, this is your part. Your part is to understand this kingdom that God has let you come in and learn about it. Seek, study, learn about, number one, the kingdom of God. Number two, his righteousness. And everything else about your life will be added as well. So we decided, as an act of our will, we pull back and say, hey, if everything Jesus was talking about was pertaining to this message that he came to proclaim, and he said that this is the most important thing for me to do, and it should be exclusive, I need to step back and start studying, what is this that Jesus is trying to say to me, talking about this kingdom? I want to understand. It must be something I missed. But if I can understand it and I can study it and I find out, what is it? How come Jesus didn't come? Why is Jesus not a president? Why is he a king? Why Jesus so interested in me understanding about this? So we decided we're going to study and see what is Jesus talking about. Because if this is true, then everything about your life and everything about my life should start to show some signs that we are of a kingdom that is not of this world. And that this kingdom that was taking care of Jesus should start showing up some signs in our life. And we should begin to function on the earth like Jesus functioned on the earth. Amen. Amen. And we looked at that today in this third point that we made. And you who had the, who received the study notes today, I believe it'll be good for you to take them and look at them some more. Conveniently prepared. Wasn't that nice? See there? 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. The Lord put that on my heart to prepare that for you so that it'll bless your life. All right. Seek ye, you seek. Make it your business to learn about and study the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Everything about your life be taken care of. That's how you live a stress-free life. It is against God's word to worry about anything. And there are symptoms of worry that will show up in a person's life, even though we might not even realize that we've been worrying and having some stress and carrying around concerns. But you don't have to worry about anything. I tell you, if you don't worry about anything, God will take care of everything that you throw on him and don't worry about it. He'll take care of it. He'll work it out. It is amazing. And we've been talking about how to focus on the solution and let the other stuff just disappear. You really don't even know how it went away. It just goes away. Isn't that something? Okay, now let's look at turning your Bibles. We're going to just focus on one thing. The decision to put, we're going to focus tonight on the benefits of putting this decision about pursuing righteousness. Pursuing righteousness. Turning your Bibles to Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Righteousness means right standing with God. It is a legal word. Righteousness is not a religious word. And don't think that I'm against church, because church is the body of Christ. Church is the order of God. You're supposed to be a member of a church. Jesus calls it his church, but I'm talking about church when I'm talking about members of a church, but I'm not talking about religion when I'm saying members of a church. The church is one thing, religion is something else, okay? So church, you're supposed to be a member of a church. Church is right, it's the order of God. But when I'm explaining this about righteousness, I need to let you know that righteousness is not a from a discipline of religion. Righteousness is a legal word. Righteousness is a legal word. It means being in proper alignment with the government. Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." He didn't say, "My kingdom is not in this world." He said, "It is not of this world." And you are born into a kingdom. And when we pursue righteousness, we don't have to pursue prosperity. According to the scriptures, righteousness, pursuing, remaining in proper alignment with the government of heaven, automatically makes poor people not be poor anymore. And so once a person is born into the kingdom of God, he has legal rights to anything that God has, and God owns everything. Once you're born into the kingdom of God, you are automatically placed in a position where you have rights. Rights, because righteousness is a legal word. It's not a religious word. And we explain how I can kind of loosen up and feel all right to just be myself, as long as I understand that I am in America, for instance, you know, and I have rights because I'm born in America, you know. And when I exercise my rights, I don't check out whether my conduct makes me worthy. No. If I have a consciousness that I am still remaining, continuing in right alignment with the government of America, you know, I freely enjoy my rights. Now, if I do something to get me out of line with the government of America, I can be a citizen, and me going to jail did not stop my citizenship. I am a born American. I am a citizen of America. And if I go to jail, it didn't stop me from being a citizen. It just stops me from able to exercise my rights. So I want to maintain a proper alignment with the government of heaven, and I want to be conscious of the fact that I am in proper alignment with the kingdom of heaven, and my faith is in God. And I see these things that sometimes I'm praying about as rights rather than something that I'm trying to get the king to give me. I never have met President Obama. And it really doesn't matter whether he likes me or not. It doesn't matter how he feels about me. And it really doesn't matter how ugly I've been. When I'm looking at, I am in right standing and right alignment with the government, I have rights. The same rights that anybody else in America has. So in the kingdom of God, Jesus said, pursue remaining in proper alignment with this government of heaven, and everything that God has is available to you. By being born into the kingdom of God, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. But your right alignment with the government of heaven causes you to be able to access all the benefits that you need. You see that? Being born in America makes you a citizen. You have rights. As long as you're in right standing, a proper alignment with the government, you have a right to exercise anything that the Constitution says you have to anything. If I am not aware that it operates like that, I won't have any confidence in my rights, and I'll be trying to get God to do something that is my legal right for me to just freely enjoy. You understand? So if I understand it, then I can function in it. But if I don't understand it, I can have some privileges that are forfeited because I don't know about this right standing in this kingdom that I'm in. I think it's still a democracy or something. I think it's a religion trying to get God to bless me. I'll pray and be trying to get God to bless me for the rest of my life. But Jesus said, don't worry about your life. Seek the kingdom of God. That's part of that is getting in it and understanding it. And his righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles, some translation of that word, Gentiles is pagans. That's talking about religions. Look at your neighbor. Say, when we learn better, we can live better. Life's supposed to be simple. Now let's look at Hebrews first chapter and the first verse. The seventh chapter. Hebrews 7, we're talking about the benefit of pursuing righteousness. If you pursue righteousness, you don't have to pursue prosperity. If you pursue remaining in right alignment with the kingdom government of heaven, you don't have to pursue other things. Jesus said those things are the rewards, and the rights is also rewards. That will be added as well. Other people are pursuing prosperity. The Bible reveals to us that you get hurt when you are following God merely because of what he can do for you. God will do for you more than you can ask or think. God's disposition toward you and me, God's commitment. Are y'all all right with this? Am I going too slow? Am I going too slow? Y'all not sleeping? Okay. God's commitment. Get this down. Get this. God's commitment. Yeah, write this one down too. God's obligation. See, Jesus is a king and he is obligated to take care of you. And he's committed to take care of you. That means he's committed and it's his obligation. Listen, and he delights in taking care of you. He is personally responsible for taking care of you. He personally benefits for taking care of you. That's why he said, your father knows you. It's his good pleasure. It's his pleasure to give you control over that stuff. Listen. It makes him look good when he takes care of you. It's almost like God is saying, please pursue righteousness so that I can look good, because I want to do for you what you're trying to get me to do for you. But if you pursue righteousness, it's for my name's sake that I'm leading you in this. It's like he's saying, please do this so I can get to have my name look good. Amen. So it's God's disposition, it's God's delight, it's his obligation to take care of everything about a citizen of his kingdom, because that's what a king does. It's his obligation to take care of his citizens. And your obligation, your part, is to understand this, what you're in, what you and I are in. And our Heavenly Father is a king. And he said, don't worry about your life. But you put this first place, it's supposed to be very simple. Priority over everything. Isn't it something how you get involved in so many other things? precious of life, worries. He said, if you just have one thing in your mind and put it on the right thing, your whole life is going to be flooded with light. But if it's all divided, how great is that darkness? The light of the body is the eye. You cannot serve taking care of yourself and at the same time only seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. If you come on into the kingdom, study it, and pursue righteousness, everything else will be added. Look at your neighbor one more time. Say, do you believe any of that? So my faith then is in him. My confidence is in him. If my confidence is in getting a blessing, that blessing might not come right then. It might not show up right then. The manifestation of a blessing, if it show up, it's going to be temporary, and I cannot afford to live my life having my faith in something. My faith in something happening. I have to have my faith in something that is going to guarantee me peace and quietness and confidence forever, and letting him do his part. I trust him. I trust him. I'm going to serve him. Listen. And I'm going to obey him. Because he can be trusted. My business is not prospering myself. But his obligation, his commitment, he is faithful. He loves me. And he's a king. God is introducing a better quality of life. His citizens in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God on this earth, are called to live like Jesus lives. And when something needs to be done, do it. And whatever you demand, and when you do something, those are the things that Jesus will do, because he has you here. You represent a son of God. You are son of God on the earth with Jesus in you. Have y'all found Hebrews? Hebrews 7:1. Ready? Let's read. Ready? Read. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, and when he met him, he was returning from what? The slaughter of the kings. What was he returning from? He was returning from slaughtering what? Kings. One or more than one? Kings. Abraham slaughtered two armies with the folk who, him and his children and the people who worked for him. They got together and went and slaughtered two kings and their armies. Look at your neighbor one more time. Come on. Okay. You don't have to look at each other. You don't have to look at each other. But just think. That's something, isn't it? One man in his household and folk working for him with a deal with God, who understands that my part in my life is not for me to be trying to get myself blessed, but my part is to trust in his commitment to me and obey him. And if he tell me to do anything and I obey him, there's benefits that he loves. He wants to do me good and make me happy. And my confidence is in him, not in what I see him doing. My confidence in him will make the way plain for him to do what his pleasure is. Abraham, I want your son, your only son, the one you love. And Abraham said, he just obeyed him. And God said, okay, now I know. Now I'm going to do what I had told you I was going to do, because really now I know you love me. You don't love your son. You don't love what I gave you or what I can do for you. You have your confidence in me. You love me because I'm a king. And when you obey me, that obligates me to do what I am committed to do. Thank you, Abraham. I'm so glad. I need people like that who's focusing on me, because I'm going to lavish them with what I can do. But in a kingdom, you honor the king, and it obligates him to be good to you. Oh, you're telling God what it is. No. He set it up that way. He's a king. Say first. Come on. First, righteousness. Come on. After that, everything else about your life taken care of. And if you have that understanding, when you're doing your tithes, you see, okay, first, I'm bringing my tithes to God. I'm first have my mind on making sure I'm lined up with the government of heaven. And when I give my tithes, that's it. My confidence is in him, and he's a king, and all kings makes it available for you to give them something. And so when I first establish this, see him as my king, that I'm staying in alignment with his government, after that, it's his part. But the thing that's tying it all together is my confidence is in him. So when I leave, no matter what comes against me in life, listen, I'm a righteous man. I'm in line with the kingdom of heaven. There's a government that will override. Come on, y'all. There is a government that will override the governments of this earth. If they bring me to court, if I'm in right standing, in alignment with the kingdom of heaven, everything's going to be all right. And I don't even worry about these proceedings. Because I've established first my right alignment, and I'm making sure that I don't get out of line with the government of heaven. I'm making sure that what anybody does, I don't let it offend me. I can't afford to let somebody lying on me offend me, because that'll get me out of line with my government. And I'm out here by myself doing a whole lot of work, going to church, reading the Bible, hey, praying in tongues, and can't get him to listen to me. But if I maintain my right alignment with the government of heaven, every time I call, something will happen. He'll move heaven and earth, because he owns heaven and earth. He owns all the galaxies. He owns all the stars and the moons. And he owns the breath that people are breathing. He owns all the money. He can get you what you need overnight. He is the Lord. He owns everything. And all he wants you to do is stay and have a country. I'm in alignment with the government of heaven. And no matter what you do to me, I am not going to get out of line with this kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. You have no authority over me except my kingdom allow you to do it. And I have a direct line with the government of heaven, and he takes care of me. Understanding righteousness, understanding the disposition that you have with your kingdom, understanding I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I have a right to summons his power. I have a right to act in kingly authority. And if two of us agree on something, my king has said he'll be right there and he'll make it happen. And nothing on this earth can rule me. And so Jesus came demonstrating what it is to be a man on the earth who knows that he is of God, and know that he is a king, and knows that his kingdom is not of this world, so he can demonstrate to you how to do it. It is the understanding of it, of your commitment that your father is a king, and he's not a poor king. And when he says something, when he points his scepter to you, that means you have access to everything in his kingdom.
And he will move it and take stuff from somebody. Come on. Because it's his. It's his. It's not stealing. It's just moving it. It's just rearranging it. He can put anything in your hand because he's the owner of everything. This is not a democracy. You are under a king. And when he give you his scepter, that means you have access to anything in his kingdom. You don't even have to have money. You don't have to pursue prosperity. You're automatically common with his wealth. And he owns everything. Blessed is a person who's poor and don't believe he owns anything. But he found out about this message and he realizes he's a son of a king who owns everything. God will show you the car that I talked about. The Lord showed it to in a vision. The Holy Spirit is the governor of heaven. He'll take things that belong to him, show it to you. Once you see it, you swallow it. And when you pray, I believe I received that one. It's mine. I'm in the kingdom. I've received that. It's mine. It's not God. I believe I received that. It's mine. Citizens receive everything. Okay. Okay. It's time. Okay. The point of tonight is first right alignment with that government. After that right alignment, peace. Peace means everything about your life is taken care of. So when you see this, all these words like Melchizedek, that means he was a priest. Jesus, he was a priest like Jesus is. The Bible don't mention his beginning and his end. He calls him a priest like Jesus. Jesus is the priest. Eternal priest. His priesthood never changes. So all that language about Melchizedek, just say Melchizedek is a certain order of priest. That some characteristics about Melchizedek. He just shows up. No beginning, no end. He abides forever a priest. Okay? Now, that's why he has this in Hebrews 1 and 2. Abraham got victory by his agreement that he had with God. And he met this priest of the Melchizedek order. And he gave him tithes. And the Bible says, now this Melchizedek is the king of Salem. It says Salem. I got 2 minutes. The king of Salem means, say it, king of peace. Jerusalem. King of peace. Okay. Then he said, first, by interpretation, this Melchizedek, first, get this alignment and make sure you keep this alignment or whatever. See, and that gets it. If you're all by yourself, listen, when you are pursuing righteousness, you'll find yourself stopping at stop signs when you know it's not a policeman there. And it's dark, nobody but you. But you came up to this stop sign at 12 o'clock at night. You stopped. Not because you're scared somebody's going to see you, but you're making sure you stay aligned with the government of heaven. You start fixing your finances so that you make sure you don't get one penny that don't belong to you. It's not because somebody might catch you, but my part in having everything taken care of in my life and me being protected, the key is me making sure that I maintain this proper alignment with the government of heaven, because that's where I'm expecting to get my ability to feed people with nothing. So if I need to feed 5,000 people, simple. Get what I have and look up and expect your government to do something.
And that's why when you're maintaining, that's why you make sure you don't say anything out of your mouth that you wouldn't want somebody else to say about you, whether you are 10,000 miles away from them or not. It doesn't matter. It's about you pursuing, maintaining this proper alignment with your government. Because if a snake bites you and you are 5,000 miles from a hospital, that snake bite won't kill you, because there is no poison death in the kingdom. And you are in right alignment with the kingdom, no matter what your conduct is. You got a right to live if a snake bites you. And you start doing things mysterious. And people say, wow, well, the Lord moves in mysterious. Yes, it is mysterious if you don't study and understand this kingdom that you're in. But if you understand what you're in, you'll have a reason to be quiet when you want to talk back. Looks like you're weak, but no, you're just meek. You're trusting over the results to your king. It looks like you're meek on the earth, and everybody, oh, that, no, you're strong when you know I got a covenant. I got a government that's not of this world. And when anything comes against me, I won't worry. I'll just call on his name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And his ears are open to me. Yeah. Something will happen. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave the tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation, king of righteousness. And say it, after that, king of peace. Everything about your life. Stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. So, something in your house? When they find you and they tell you what's wrong, and you pray, you know that you have proper alignment and you know what you are doing. You understand.